WZHD 2 Laverne, your place to anchor down.
There's a throw toward the end zone, and it is caught. Turns three, yes, sir.
We are 102.5 and 106.3.
This one is back, and it is gone.
The Game.
A Cromwell Media Station.
The sports talk doesn't stop on Friday.
What? You give me one good reason.
It's Saturday.
And these guys have a lot to say.
Let me talk to you.
This is Force Company.
Yada, yada, yada.
With Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt.
Yeah.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Force Company on this Saturday morning in Nashville. Back live and local, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. So excited to be with you. Jake Lyman, we got the two Knicks at the desk. Frazier, Kieser, Connor Newt is behind the glass making it all happen. Force Company again, 9 to 11 from here on out every single Saturday. Guys, it's been a long time coming. We've been working on this for a while. Excited that we are off the ground. We are off and running. It should be a fun one today.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Glad to be back. And thanks to our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, for bringing us back on. The suit, right? Yeah, glad to be on. And pleasure to have you two alongside for the ride as well. You know, I have to give my kudos to Junie for bringing me on. Now I'm bringing both of you guys on. Jake's going to be our, you know, mic one leading us throughout this process. And so glad to be here for all of this. And yeah, guys, we have a lot to get into. The NHL playoffs start today. We have also got the huge conversation about who the Titans are going to be taking at number 7, or will they be trading? And you'll have to stay tuned for our draft simulation here in just a little bit, by the way. Mm-hmm. But, Frazier, I'm glad that we've got you on the program because we got someone else locally that does soccer and baseball, WWE. Man, you bring it all, man. Yeah. I'm so excited.
I'm not as big into like WWE as people think I am. I mean, it's in my family bloodline.
Right.
Not WWE, but just wrestling in general.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a professional wrestler. But yeah, I mean, this is awesome being in my hometown, growing up in this area. I tell this to Chase all the time, like, you know, when you grow up in Nashville, you kind of want to grow with the city.
Absolutely.
And so when you're on the radio here in your hometown, it's pretty cool.
It is cool. Yeah.
And it's awesome to do it with you guys, along with Connor Newt behind the glass.
Yeah. Connor, welcome back, man. Glad to have you. And Connor's been doing Preds games this year and continues to do more for our station. So be sure to give him a follow along as well. He's just as important as anybody else is here on our station. So, Connor, glad to have you. How are you this morning?
Glad to be here, guys. You know, it's like Jake says, been a long time coming. I mean, just we kind of hit an abrupt stop last year, and now we're back on Saturdays. And I think I have a friend here who has something to say about being back on Saturdays.
Finally!
We're back! Thank you, Dwayne.
Connor is a big wrestling fan, as people may not know. So yes, you may hear a lot of those drops. There's that as well. Connor, what'd you have for breakfast, buddy? I got to know.
What did I have for breakfast?
Big breakfast guy.
What did I have for breakfast?
It's only a Saturday thing.
It was a Greek yogurt morning.
Oh, boy.
Apple pie Greek yogurt, Publix brand.
Oh, okay.
Cheap and filling, surprisingly.
He's really excited about his yogurt.
I love yogurt.
Yeah.
It's so sustainable.
Okay.
We're off to a roaring
welcome
start
to Forest Company, everyone.
We're going to hear a lot from Connor Newt throughout the show, including his own segment coming up later this hour. We're excited for that. Newt's Notes will be at 9:45. And again, as Nick Kieser mentioned, that we've got a lot of Preds playoff coverage coming up. Obviously, they get their postseason underway tomorrow night, 9 p.m. puck drop in Vancouver. We're also going to simulate what the Titans could do at 7. I'm going to give these guys a little scenario coming up at 9:30, and they're going to have to go through the motions of the war room of what the Titans could be looking at on Thursday night. But first, let's just throw it around the room here, guys. You know, we're only on once a week, so we get a chance to amass some stories and some things that we want to talk about. Let's just do some headlines, some highlights around the room. Nick Kieser, why don't you start us off?
I tell you what, this week, it's kind of a sad note, and I think it's a big one, though, for sure, because this shapes the game of the NHL. And look, you've got a team going over to Utah, right? And that happened very fast. And I was watching the press conference yesterday with Alex Morello and Gary Bettman. That was disappointing, and to hear an owner say he was unaware that there were unpaid bills or the fact that, hey, we're really disappointed that our referendum didn't go in place over there for our new spot. That's disappointing. That's really sad to see. The Preds have almost moved. There's a lot with that as well. But for the past decade, I think just that franchise in general, the Arizona Coyotes, they've had a huge problem with that. And I think looking at the grand scheme of things, this is a win-win-win for everybody over there. And I understand why. The owner gets $1 billion. He's incompetent, but he gets $1 billion. He could bring the franchise back, which, by the way, here's the biggest thing about it all. When and if they get a team back, guys, they get the expansion draft. So they don't get those players back. They get the expansion draft. So that the Coyotes, quote-unquote, that franchise is inactive now. So all of their players go to Utah. And then when the Coyotes, when and if, I said, come back, they get the expansion draft.
So basically it's kind of like a Vegas Golden Knights situation,
yes,
where they could
exactly
end up being from a terrible team and come back and being this
yes
powerhouse potentially.
They start from ground zero. They'll have a new building, new players.
And I think that brings us to our question of the day here. We want you guys to get involved as well. You can call or text 615-737-1025. Our question of the day, what should the team be named in Utah? There's a lot of names being floated around what the franchise could be. I believe Blizzard is one of the ones that's been floated out there.
Yeah, Yeti's another one.
Yetis.
Black Bears. Yeah.
I was talking with Connor before we went on air. I think they should just stick with the theme in Salt Lake City of having team names that have nothing to do with the culture out there in Utah. The Utah Jazz, they moved from New Orleans, where obviously
they just decided to keep it.
I think they should just be like the Utah Raging Cajuns or something like that out there in Salt Lake City.
Maybe like Utah Eskimos. They're near Alaska, aren't they? Like somewhere around there, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
near the northern border.
They're a little more central than Arizona was to be playing in the central division. So that's kind of what I realized. But then again, it's a cold climate. But shoot us a text and let us know what you guys think this morning. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun thing to keep track of. But, Frazier, I had my headline. How about you this morning?
Yeah, my headline, I'm gonna take it towards the Diamond. Former Vandy pitcher Jack Leiter didn't have the best start for the Texas Rangers.
What was that line last night for him?
Meaning?
What did he do?
Go Tigers.
Last night was not good. He had 3 innings pitched, 7 earned runs against, 8 hits, like a 17 ERA. Not great. But I think, you know, give him another chance. The Texas Rangers lineup pitching staff is just kind of on the injured bug a little bit right now. They're a little low maintenance, so you got to be able to bring it in a little bit.
Let's walk through this. I just found this from the New York Post.
Oh, boy.
You know that you've made your debut and maybe something's gone awry here. Jake Leiter, he made his debut, and it says that he was in 3 innings. And he had a 17 ERA.
Yep.
And he has already been sent back to Round Rock, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little bring up to the majors type thing, because just the pitching rotation needed some extra, you know, days, as a lot of pitching staffs do. I mean, when you don't have a lot of rotational guys in the MLB currently, like, you're going to need some of your youth come up from AA or AAA and, you know, just be an extra arm out there. And so that's kind of what I thought it was. Unfortunately for him, he's a really good pitcher, first round pick back in 21. Didn't get to have his limelight and you know, the MLB debut. So hopefully they bring him back up later in the season and has a better second start than he did this past week.
He faced my juggernaut Tigers offense in his
first game.
The Tigers offense that typically can't put up more than 2 runs per game, but decided that they wanted to tee off on Jack Leiter. Still think the Rangers won that game, though.
They did.
I think it was 9-7
yep
was the final. So, yeah, cool for Jack Leiter, another one of Tim Corbin's Vandy boys making their way to the major leagues. I believe Austin Martin for the Twins also made his debut
earlier this year. Max threw something out there about him, yeah.
So, I mean, that program is unbelievable, all the talent that they put out there. And we're going to talk a lot more about the Vandy boys coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. My highlight this morning, guys, I know it's 6 days old at this point, but I want to talk a little bit about the Masters. Sunday was kind of, I don't want to say boring, but just a little bit anticlimactic, I guess I would say. Like, Scottie Scheffler just ran away with it.
He did, didn't he?
The only real intrigue was whether his wife was going to go into labor and pull him off the golf course
imagine?
At the end.
Man, that'd be wild.
I mean, if he had to leave with a three-stroke lead or something on the 17th hole.
Yeah.
Would have been crazy. But I actually wanted to talk about two guys who really weren't in contention, and they went off earlier in the day. Did you guys see this? The amateur, he was the only amateur who made the cut.
Yes. What's his name again?
His name was Neil Shipley.
That's right.
So he is a grad student at Ohio State.
Oh.
He spent 4 years at James Madison over in Virginia. And he got to spend his Masters Sunday with Tiger Woods.
Oh, man.
I mean, imagine him walking into his Monday morning econ class the next day after spending Sunday at the Masters at Augusta with Tiger Woods. I thought that
That's
was
awesome.
So cool.
I love that for him. And wasn't he like minus what did he finish with? What did he finish under par? He was really good, I thought.
He was good the first couple days. He made the cut, but him and Tiger both kind of slipped back.
Yeah.
I was thinking, though, I mean, Augusta's already hard enough. I would shoot 150 if I was playing with Tiger Woods. I mean, can you imagine having Tiger Woods standing next to you on every single one of your
no
shots?
No pressure. I'd be shaking. Like, everywhere I'd walk, hey, nope, Tiger's asked me a question. Oh, what do I say? You know what I mean?
But he was also shaking hands with a tree, too. I don't know if you guys saw that meme.
Yeah, Vern Lundquist, who ended up, I guess, retiring after this year's Masters.
Yeah.
Iconic voice in sports. Broadcasting, but overall it was cool to see that. There was somebody asked him in the post presser or whatever, he's like, hey, what was that paper that Tiger gave you? And he looked around, nothing.
That didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
Oh, I think sorry. It was his phone number for lessons.
Connor Newt, do you have a highlight for us this morning?
I do. Mine's not as much of a highlight as it is kind of a general assessment, but the NBA play-in tournament was this weekend. I honestly, this is the least interested I think I've ever been in the NBA playoffs as a whole.
Now, what makes it least interesting to you?
Well, for me, my team, the Memphis Grizzlies, are not in it.
Okay.
So that kind of takes away the intrigue.
Bad season.
But to me, I just feel like the NBA does not play fundamental basketball. They stand around on defense, I feel like.
They don't call traveling.
They don't call traveling. They flop, although they have rules in place to, quote, negate that, but to me it's just boring basketball, and that's why you have all these high scoring 120 to 119 games, because no one plays defense, no one fouls, and when they do foul, it's a soft little ticky-tack foul just so they can blow a whistle. So I also don't understand really how the play-in works. I know it's like 7 and 8, winner moves up, and then 8 and 9, whoever wins that plays the loser of 7 and 8. Why can't we just do 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9, winners move?
I wish it was just best 2 out of 3, honestly.
Or we just don't have a play in
general.
Or
just don't have it. Yeah. And then that in-season tournament was strange this year as well.
I didn't like that either.
Yeah, I hope hockey doesn't adopt any of these things, nor do any other sports. That was disappointing to see how some of this played out.
My tidbit about that in-season tournament, I believe a lot of European teams that play Euro ball, they do that. And I think NBA is trying to adopt that type of mindset and tournament style. So maybe that's why they did it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm with you.
It's like a soccer kind of thing almost.
Yeah.
Like the Premier League, they have these in-season tournaments.
Like the FA Cup and stuff like that. Yeah. It's kind of like that. It's not as interesting when it comes to basketball. For like other sports like soccer, it works.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, I'm with you guys. Not there.
And yeah, with football going on, it feels like no one pays attention to the NBA until February, right around.
right around.
I guess they're trying to just give themselves something that people will talk about earlier on in the year. But no, I agree with you, Connor. I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. They play later today, and I just realized that this morning. So I agree. The NBA playoffs, not quite as intriguing as maybe they usually are.
And I say this as a huge, huge basketball fan. Like, if you haven't listened to me, I'm true blue Kentucky through and through.
I know.
And
we were sitting here. We saw your big old puddle whenever they were losing in the first round this year.
Yeah.
I will say this. Excuse me. Before we go to break, we were doing a Preds game together.
Oh,
and
Calipari.
Calipari's news about Arkansas.
I was here.
He jumped for joy. I was like, "What happened? What happened?" I was honestly, my heart was beating so fast. I didn't know what was happening. I thought Connor like fell off his chair and hurt his hip or something. I didn't know what was going on. He goes, "Oh, Calipari." I was like, "Oh my goodness, are you really going to scare me about that?" This is great. It was great for Kentucky.
It's a great day.
I am sure that we will get plenty of Kentucky basketball notes from Connor Newt.
Oh, yes.
Throughout the duration of this show. Good stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Love the highlights. We are off and running here on Forest Company, our new show here, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. Coming up next, we're going to talk some Preds playoffs.
Yes,
Game 1 is tomorrow, 9 p.m. puck drop out in Vancouver. We're going to preview that. What edges do the Preds have over Vancouver, who's had a really good season? How do they match up? We're going to talk a little bit about this long time off, the travel, and much more. That's up next. Four's Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
We do know it's going to be one of Vancouver or Dallas. What kind of stands out to you about those two teams?
They're both really good. You know, yeah. I think they're different, but they're both the top of the league all year. So we're the underdog. We've got our work cut out for us, and let's just go at them. It's kind of the same mentality that we've had all year. It's just go straight forward.
Tune into 102.5, 106.3 The Game tomorrow for coverage of the Geico 500 at Talladega Super Speedway. Coverage will begin at 1 p.m. with the race starting at 2 p.m. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Forest Company here on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. Just heard a little bit from Andrew Brunette there as we dive into some Preds playoff preview. We do now know that it is the Vancouver Canucks who the Preds will face off with in the first round of the playoffs. Game 1 tomorrow night, 9 p.m. You can tune into some special pregame coverage, I believe, starting at 6 tomorrow with
that
Max
Hirsch.
So
yep.
Nice and early for Game 1 as the Preds start their playoff run. We're lucky that we have the reporter in studio with us. Nick Kieser, our Preds guy. Nick, just a 30,000-foot view of this series. What does this look like for the Preds facing off with Vancouver in the first round?
I think this is going to be a tall task, fellas. I really do. These two teams play pretty much identical systems when you look at it from that far away. Jake has a really high view of this series. but, look, I think for this team playing on the road the first two games, it's not going to be too much of a difference even if they were in Nashville. Think about how good this team played on the road earlier this year. Most of you guys around here know from doing highlights or running the games what they've been like on the road this year. And so have our fans here in town. I think the most important thing is if the Predators' first line is isolated and they are handled, who else is going to be able to step up? That's going to be the storyline of this series. Is it going to be Luke Evangelista? Joe Rexroth had a great story on him that came out yesterday. You've also got Tommy Novak as well. Is he a guy that you could possibly see add some depth scoring? But also, too, that fourth line identity line. You know, Andrew Brunette hasn't called them the fourth line. He's been saying this is our identity line. So that's Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Kiefer Sherwood. Can those guys be the spark plugs? Can they stir the pot against a pesky Vancouver team who, by the way, Adam Vingan made a great note of this yesterday, and I couldn't make this any bigger. The Canucks have not played a home playoff game in about 10 years, by the way. So this is going to be a big series, and if the Preds come off and they are fast and they score early, this is going to be a fun first game, guys.
And this is the first time that the Preds and Canucks have matched up in the playoffs since
2011.
That was the year the Canucks went to the Stanley Cup Final. Lost to
the Bruins.
Tim Thomas and the Bruins.
How about that?
I believe that was the year they had riots in the streets
after losing
the Stanley Cup Finals.
And Michael Bublé said he moved one of his concerts because of that, too, and the fans were not happy about that either. There were a lot of things they weren't happy about, Jake, but man, that was the last series I also cried about, too, when I was growing up, when the Preds lost to the Canucks. So, but anyway, yeah, this is going to be a weird series. And, yeah, you know, I think also, too, Brunette's been pretty transparent. I wonder how transparent he's going to be in the postseason when he's speaking with media about his team, but also, more importantly, about these matchups.
Well, this matchup, it's interesting because these two teams just haven't played very much lately. They played two games in October. The last matchup was in December. Frazier, these are two completely different teams. Yes, Vancouver swept the series in the regular season, but they haven't seen the Preds since they went on that 18-game point streak.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because it's like, excuse me, before the All-Star break, Vancouver was lights out, phenomenal. Kind of what the Preds were the last 18-point streak they had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking at the pre- and post-All-Star split this morning, and I believe if the numbers are correct on ESPN.com, the Vancouver Canucks only had four double-digit goal scores, which is pretty good, but like low, like right at 10, 11. Like, they're not getting that same production. Whereas for the Preds, I mean, it was Forsberg. It was Nyquist. I mean, all of these guys are coming in at the right time. So, I mean, it gets to the point where you're seeing it like a new Preds team. The chemistry's now there. I mean, everybody wants to make the U2 comments. Make them all you want.
Right.
But this team is just different. Like, you can feel it, the energy in the city. You can feel the energy around just the – I mean, Keezer's around it all day, every day.
Yeah.
I mean, the vibe's different. It has to be, right?
The vibe is different. Yes, it certainly is. And you're not wrong on that front for the goal scorers as well. So since the All-Star break, only JT Miller and Brock Besser have double-digit goals with 13 and 10 respectively. JT Miller's by far been their best player with 33 points in 26 games since the All-Star break, but the 18-game point streak. Let me tell you guys, I went to St. Louis with Kristen, my fiance, and that was our first time as a couple going to a road game that I covered. And we know, we thought riding up there, we kind of talked about the game. We were saying, hey, like, not to expect much. You know, this team just had a horrible loss against Dallas 9-2 on Thursday night. We drove through rain, snow, and sleet to get up there. We also went to the hill that Frazier kind of told me more about once I got up there. A lovely spot, St. Ride Louis.
Raviolis, baby.
Short gotta little plug. Lovely trip. But that game, I have never seen a team flip a switch the way that they did. They looked so different. And that was right when things were coming out that night after the game that, hey, by the way, I'm Elliot Friedman, and they're not going to see you two at Vegas. And I'm like, what is all of this? So that team in the locker room that night, they were quick. They got out of there fast, but they had smiles. They were happy. They were jubilant. However, speaking with Brunette, he's never been satisfied, guys. And these coaches, I love that mentality. They're just, hey, we need more. Like, I want more, more, more. And as a former player, that's a great mentality to have leading a franchise for the first time behind the bench. He did a little bit with Florida as the interim coach after Joel Quenneville got fired, but this Preds team looked so different. They really did after then.
And I love the NHL playoffs. For me, it always feels like hockey and baseball are the two sports where if you get in, you've got a chance to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the NBA, there's a few teams that you probably can say they're just happy to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL, it's usually the teams that get that first round bye that have home field advantage. But hockey and baseball, it just feels like, hey, you could be the bottom, just snuck into the playoffs, and guess what? If you have a hot goaltender, you could make a run, and both these teams certainly have the ability to have a hot goalie in
that.
They
do.
It's like a March Madness feel almost. Like, you kind of saw it last year with the Florida Panthers. I mean, they were the 8 seed, and they were in the Stanley Cup final. Granted, they kind of got smoked, but they had they upset arguably the best team in the regular season in the Boston Bruins.
Well, they did,
The best team of all time.
Of all time, I mean.
Historically,
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, this is also going to come down to the goaltenders too, fellas. Thatcher Demko, fabulous goaltending job by him. The last few games, he had 39 saves in his game back from injury. UC Saros will be the presumed starter. They also called up another goalie as well, who's probably going to just be filling up water bottles, quite frankly. Love Gustavs, but that's going to be his job on this team right now. But regardless, the team's in Vancouver. Max Herz, our very own, is going to be up there, and I'm excited to see what kind of coverage that he gets as well. So stay tuned for all of that here on 102.5 The Game. But also really quickly here, Will in Kentucky lets us know that his teams for the Utah team in the NHL, he has the Utah Sasquatch. I like that. Okay.
Big fan of that.
This one's random, but I think it kind of goes to the fact of what Jake was pointing out about the Jazz, keeping the New Orleans vibe up in Utah for some reason. The Utah Saxophones, because why not, he says. But yeah, Will D, thank you for the message. Appreciate that.
I'm with it. If you want to just keep the Jazz and the Saxophones together, I think that's a great partnership there.
Mm-hmm.
But Keezer, like you were saying, lots of great coverage coming up on 102.5 The Game. Again, early pregame coverage tomorrow, 6 p.m. for that 9
2
o'clock
hours
putt
before
drop.
The game, yeah.
So you've got plenty of time tomorrow night. Settle in, listen into our coverage as the Preds get set to take on the Canucks in game one. Again, 9 p.m. puck drop. We're going to have plenty more Preds talk throughout the show, but coming up next, it's time to put the rest of this crew in the war room. We are going to simulate what the Titans could do at number 7. The NFL draft is 5 days away, but we're going to just do a little role play here, a little scenario of what the Titans could see on Thursday night, and we'll see what these guys decide to do. That's coming up next here on Force Company on this Saturday morning on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game today as Vanderbilt baseball takes on Florida looking for a sweep with the pregame at 1:45. First pitch at 2 p.m. Vanderbilt baseball brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Jake Lyman here for his company. I'm about to put this show through a little exercise here. I am no longer surrounded by Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. Across the way, Nick Kieser is now the general manager of the Tennessee Titans.
How you guys doing?
Rand Carthon. Nick Frazier to my right. You are now the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, Brian Callahan.
I'm ready.
And behind the glass, Connor Newt, you may be the most important person in the room. You are the controlling owner of the Tennessee Titans, Amy Adams Strunk.
How am I supposed to do that voice? How?
You don't have to do the voice. So I know we got 5 days until the Chicago Bears are officially on the clock, but I'm putting you guys on the clock right now. There's been a lot of talk about what the Titans could do at 7. So many different scenarios. I have a scenario written out here, and we are going to see what you guys do. So
Okay. How
it's going to work, I'm going to read through the first 6 picks. I've already mapped these out, so you'll know who's off the board, where they're going. Then you will have 10 minutes to either make a pick or make a trade. I've heard we have some special guests who may be calling in later in the segment.
Oh, boy.
With some trade offers. So that's how it's going to work. Everybody understand. We got GM Nick Kieser.
Yes.
So you've got the final say.
Rain's playing right
at
here.
At the end of this. Brian Callahan, you've got plenty of input, too. And then Miss Amy behind the scenes, maybe she's got a thought, too. And whose thought is more important?
She might be too busy. She's in Houston.
All right. So if we understand it, let's go through these first 6 picks, and then I'll start the clock. So,
Okay. Number
one, the Chicago Bears, no surprise here, they take Caleb Williams.
Okay.
So they've got their franchise quarterback. Quarterback at number two as well, Jaden Daniels to the Washington Commanders, Drake May to the New England Patriots. So no surprise there, 3 quarterbacks off the board, first 3 picks. Here's your wrinkle. At number 4, we have a trade, but it's not the one that you were thinking would happen. The Indianapolis Colts have moved up to number 4. And they have a little homecoming story as they are going to bring Marvin Harrison Jr. To Indianapolis to play for the team that his dad was a Hall of Famer for. So somebody in your division just got an elite weapon. The Indianapolis Colts moving up to 4 to take Marvin Harrison Jr. At number 5, the Los Angeles Chargers take left tackle Joe Alt.
Oh, boy.
So Alt is off the board. And at number 6... the New York Giants take Malik Nabers, wide receiver, LSU.
Okay.
So off the board, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Marvin Harrison Jr., Joe Alt, Malik Nabers.
Mm.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Your time starts now. The Tennessee Titans are now on the clock.
So with the board that we have left.
You got to play the board.
Okay. I would say I would like to be secure on our offensive line.
Okay.
I really would. I feel good about it. Now, do you feel like your dad can coach as well as we think he can? We bring him over, but do you think he could help us out with feeling a little bit better about adding at our line?
Let me just tell you straight up, we got to trade back. We got to play
the
board.
So?
Yeah, there's plenty of good talent. Get the third round pick we don't have.
Mm.
There's plenty of options late. I wouldn't say late in the first round, but trade back a little bit. You know what
okay.
I'm saying? What do you think?
Are you sure?
100%.
Well, let me ask you this. How do we feel about our tight end position? Because we have maybe a generational tight end.
We need tight ends.
On understandable. The
board. Yeah, but we have Chig.
Chig had a pretty down year last year.
He's young.
Well,
he's
young. I think Chig could definitely be better. And Josh Wiley adds our depth as well. And I think that I feel better with those two. But do we feel good about utilizing Tony Pollard as a pass catcher out of the backfield? Do we feel better about that right now?
Let me jump in here. I think somebody's on the phone with our first trade offer here at number 7.
Oh.
Hey, Ryan. This is Kwesi Adofo-Mensa calling from the Minnesota Vikings. It's no secret we've been looking to move up, and I think we could make a deal that would benefit both of us. Now, we can offer our 2 first-round picks at 11 and 23, along with a third-rounder next year. But we'd want the 7th pick and number 38 in the second round. Let me know if that's something you'd be interested in. Thanks. Mm.
All right, so to recap there, the Vikings are offering 11, 23, and a 2025 third for number 7 and number 38.
That third now, is for next
feel,
year?
If we feel secure with our depth, and if we can fall back a little bit here, think with me, Brian. It's if we fall back a little bit, we could still get possibly a weapon in a tight end, but we could also get an offensive lineman that we feel really good about that could be a Pro Bowler.
Yeah, I mean, 11-23 of this year's
I like it. Personally, I would not be afraid to pull the plug and say yes on our initial plan and take this deal.
Yeah, I mean, two first-round picks you really can't pass up, but the thing is does the talent drop off after, like, the top 15 of the first
round? And how do we feel about losing our second this year? That's the question.
Yeah. But
you have Granted, we upgrade with the first.
Here's the thing, though, that, like, that last first-round pick at 23, I don't want to say it's an equivalent of a second-round pick because it's not really. It's, like, in the fringe of the back end of the first round, obviously. I mean,
I think we're taking more of a shot if we have to make our pick at 23. But at 11, we know guys on our board are still elite at that level.
Do we think the scouting's where it is? We put full faith in our scouting?
I tend to agree. We're 2 years into our program. That's how I feel.
My thing is I don't want to reach.
I think the phone's ringing again. We might have another trade offer coming.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Rand, this is Brandon Bean with the Buffalo Bills. We've been looking at making a move up in the draft. Now, we're all the way down to 28, but we think we can make this worth your while. For number 7, we're willing to offer, obviously, the 28th pick, pick number 60 in the second round, 128 in the fourth, and our first-round pick next year. Hit me back if you want to make this deal. Thanks.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I like Bean's approach, but the two firsts for me feels like I can work with that a little bit better.
Yeah.
And let's say guys underneath us don't take a Brock, don't take a Fasanu. That would bode well for us moving forward as a franchise.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Vikings trade. I think that might be the best solution for this roster build going forward.
And we feel as if we'd be ahead of a team like the Vikings.
Absolutely.
Honestly, I feel like we would be ahead of them in the regard of where we're at in our, quote, retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it here for the two-tone blue. I feel good about where we stand with our franchise if we keep those two first in this round and go back a little bit, but not too far. So
yeah, I feel like I'm all right with the Vikings trade.
All right, so feeling good about the Vikings trade right now.
Yeah. Yes.
Again, on the board right now from the Vikings, you'd be giving up 7 and 38 for 11, 23, and a 2025 third. That's the Vikings offer.
Right.
The Bills have come in with 28, 60. So first, a second, and a fourth this year, and a first next year for number 7.
I would like to go ahead and say no to our trade from Mr. Bean.
Okay, so the Bills trade has been denied. So right now it's just the Vikings are making your pick on the board. We've got one trade offer coming in. I think this is the last one with about 4.5 minutes left on the clock.
Rand, it's George Payton, GM for the Denver Broncos. Now, we know it's a little late in the clock, but we wanted to throw our hat in the ring, see if you wanted to make a deal. If you're willing to part with 7, we can offer our 12th overall pick, 76 in the third, and our second rounder in 2025. Let me know.
I'm sold. That's it. That's the winner.
Really?
That's the winner for
me. I'm liking the Vikings offer.
It's only one lower than what we're initially getting from Minnesota. And we're getting a little more capital early.
Yeah.
And I feel better about being secure in that way.
Yeah, but that's – I don't know. This is just me, but the second-round pick for the following year, I mean, if you can add up picks and just build what you have this year and just take what's on the board, build next year, I mean, that could set you up for a good possibility of next year making a decent run. Mm.
Which draft class do you like better is the question. Do you like this year where you have two firsts, or do you like next year where you have – a couple seconds and a first.
I'd prefer having depth past the first round, depending on how well the season Will has for us.
Right.
But also, we've got faith in our new wide receivers. We've got faith in some of these even picks that we're about to make. And maybe free agency isn't as strong as we thought it would be this offseason, but I feel pretty good about this. And if we deal with Denver, we go back to 12 instead of 11. But we also get that security in the second round as well. My vote would be to do this Denver trade. Now, do you feel
That's
okay with that?
I was sold. Like, when he said the second round pick the following year, I'm sold. I was sold with the Vikings with two firsts, but then I heard there was more draft capital in the future. I'm going to take the one that's going for the future.
Let's call him back, and I'd like to pitch
Hold on.
Are you sure?
The owner hasn't approved this.
The controlling owner has to make a...
Go ahead.
All right, I'm approving it, but but we are getting white alternate helmets next year.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the kicker.
That's fine.
All right, throwing that in at the end. Okay, so you guys have made the deal with 2.5 minutes left on the clock, plenty of time. So there's the final deal.
Yep.
The Titans trade number 7 to the Denver Broncos, who move up for J.J. McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans pick up number 12, number 76, and a second-round pick next year. So now you've got two day two picks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that the Titans would feel pretty good about.
And I agree.
There's a good chance that you still end up with one of the elite players in this class. I mean, Rome Odunze is still on the board. Brock Bowers, Dallas Turner, mm-hmm. Olufoshinu.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the better deals you guys could have done.
Mm-hmm. I really do agree. Mm-hmm. And that's going to add a lot of talent to the Titans as well. And can they hit on it? That's the main question. Can the coaching staff get the job done? That's why, if I'm Rand, that's why I brought you here, obviously.
And I did the math just to give you guys some context on those trades of kind of what the value was based on
the
Jimmy Johnson value chart.
Yep.
So that Vikings trade was – the Titans win all of these trades. If you're moving into the top 10, Titans kind of have to win all of them.
Yeah.
So the Titans would have gotten a plus 180 value on the chart for the Vikings trade. That's a value of about a third-round pick.
Right.
The Bills trade, you'd be moving back pretty far. But that is the highest value of the trades. That was plus 500 for the Titans.
Interesting.
Worth an early second-round pick. The Broncos one was right in between, plus 300, value of a late second-round pick. So you don't move back as far. You still get good value.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good trade for the Titans. And we'll see. Maybe something similar to this ends up working out on Thursday night.
Yeah,
maybe.
And the draft grades for me in that regard, it makes sense. But longevity and looking at the future when you build – and it's for another round, and it's in the future, I'm okay with that. And the only reason they're probably giving a higher round on that second deal, Jake, is probably because it's this year's draft, you know? So
it's true.
That is true.
But
that is true.
Anywho.
And the Broncos are moving up for a quarterback. You got to overpay a little bit for that. So
There
is our war room here on Four's Company. Our Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, and Amy Adams Strunk decide to trade back with the Broncos to number 12. And again, we'll have more draft coverage coming up. And next week, we'll be able to recap days one and day two on Saturday morning, which will be fun as well. We'll get to talk through all of this stuff again. Coming up next, are we sure we want to do this, guys? Do we want to let Connor have his own segment?
Sure.
I think, you know
what? Yeah.
Might as well, right?
We will do it. Coming up next, Newt's Notes. Connor gets to take over the show for 15 minutes. That's up next here on this Saturday morning. Four's Company on 102.5 and 106.3 at the game. Join Nashville Super Speedway and the City of Lebanon for Speedway on the Square today from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30 p.m. Four's Company here on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt. Before we get to Connor Newt and his Newt's Notes, I do want to mention on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, we were talking about what the Titans could do at 7 in a little simulation. Mike says he would have taken the Vikings trade to get two first-round picks and possibly pick up Brock Bowers at 11, and maybe you get a tackle coming up at 23. I don't think there were any bad options there. I think all of them you could have rationalized, but you guys went with the Broncos trade, moving back to 12, picking up a second and a third. With that, I think kind of relates to what Mr. Newt's going to be talking about as we give him his own segment. Behind the glass, Connor Newt, it's time for Newt's Notes.
All right, let me talk to you. L.A. Newt is in the building, coast
to
coast. Yeah. All right, so what I want to get into is, let's say the Titans can't get Joel. Let's say Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers decide we need a tackle, our offense is dwindling, we need protection for Mr. Justin Herbert. Why are we as a community, what's the word I'm looking
for?
Fan base. Why are we so reluctant to draft Brock Bowers? I mean, the guy is very, very skilled. he's a tight end. Granted, he's more of a receiving tight end, but if you want an extra blocker, he can do that for you. I feel like in this offense under Brian Callahan, if we were to draft Brock Bowers, I think it would be great. You would have spacing for your backfield and Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears. He could run a slant route or whatever, get open, score you some touchdowns. Jake is looking at me weird. It's funny. You could run a jet sweep with him, to be honest with you. And that may sound dumb, but I've seen it happen. You can do it. So I want your guys' thoughts. Why is Brock Bowers not the ideal pick for the Titans?
Well, I think one place to start would be, does it fit into their game plan for what they're envisioning for the first season with Will Levis as their starter? Do they feel like that their tight ends currently could do the same job, if not better, than him being a rookie this year? That's the way I would look at it if I were in their shoes, for sure. That's where I would start. The one thing that would be advantageous for the Titans adding Brock would be being a goal line threat. You laid it out perfectly, but I'm adding on top of what you said, Connor. But I would say him being a goal line threat, because the Titans thrived in the red zone last year. Imagine if they had a few more touchdowns, had gotten into the playoffs last year. We don't know what they would have done. Maybe it lasted that first wild card round, but you never know until you get in the dance, right? You know? So that's my approach to it. I'm curious what you guys think about that as well.
I mean, I don't think Brock Bowers is like a true like need. Like everybody keeps saying that what the Titans need. I don't think Brock Bowers is the answer to that. It's, for me, I call it a vanilla pick. It's one of those just special, like, bedazzled picks that you're just like, oh, this would be great to have. It's something to have on a nice fantasy team. Like, yeah. But, no, it's not a need the Titans, I guess, need. A bad way to
phrase
that. Right,
and he was so public about it, too, you know. Like, he's like, yeah, you know, like, I'd love to go to the Titans. You know, like, then once you say that, it's a lot easier for fans to be like, we need to get this guy. Like, he's our guy, right?
Well, everybody wants to come to Nashville. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Nashville. I don't want to leave. I grew up in the city. I don't want people to move here. Traffic gets worse. I mean, hey, I'm just one of those. I'm the angry old man on the porch. Get off my lawn.
Like, yes.
You are a bit of an old man, aren't you?
Thanks.
Just have that demeanor.
Oh, thank
you. I love
you,
though.
Thanks. Appreciate that. No, but to your answer, though, about Brock Bowers, it's just not it. I really don't see it. I mean, yeah, he does run all the slants and stuff. And you guys mentioned the goal line, right, and red zone. I mean, don't forget, like, the Titans utilized Jeffrey Simmons as some sort of flex fullback tight end on the goal line. Like, mm-hmm. He ran the ball and obviously caught the ball. He had a touchdown last year.
Right.
So, I mean, to that point, I mean, you can use other players for assets. Like,
I agree.
Don't just fully get rid of Chigakonkwo. Don't take him out of your plans. Mm-hmm. He's a young tight end that is still developing to a point where he's still getting, you know, his feet wet in the NFL.
Yeah.
Jake,
yeah.
See, I had pretty much removed Brock Bowers from my mind as an option at 7 for a few months until I listened to Jared on Stillman & Company on Monday. And he was talking about, I think it was Mark Dominic, the former NFL GM, who had been talking about Brock Bowers at 7. And I got to tell you, I've come around on it. I am fully on the Brock Bowers at 7.
So after the months of it not being on your radar, you've decided to flip after hearing what he had to say.
Yeah, it just makes a lot of sense. The way I've kind of conceptualized it is pick out of any of the draft prospects, not who's going to be the best player,
mm-hmm.
but who do you think has the highest percent chance of being a superstar?
Okay.
Like, he is a lock. That dude is going to be.
I think Roma Dunze is going to be that way too.
See, I see Marvin Harrison more the way you see Roma.
Well, clearly, because they're trading up for him and Drake and, you know, Jake's
Drake.
Drake. His simulation for us. And if that is the case, that would be huge. But I don't know.
See, I would say the three that I think are, and again, anything can happen. It's the NFL draft.
Right,
there are busts
right.
all the time. But the three that I think are no doubt decade long Pro Bowler, all pro guys, mm-hmm. Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers, Joe Alt. I think those are your three.
Sure.
You can't project quarterbacks enough. Like, no, the best quarterback prospect in the world. Mm-hmm. Everyone thought Trevor Lawrence was going to be this next second coming of Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and right.
Yes, he's good. He's good, but he's not an all pro.
No.
I think those three guys, if you have an opportunity to take one of them, like if Harrison and Alt off the board, I like Brock Bowers.
Yeah.
Give Will Levis an offense when you're in 11 personnel. You can split Brock Bowers into the slot.
Sure.
Have Ridley and Hopkins on the outside. Chig can still play.
True.
And then have Spears or Pollard in the backfield.
Yeah, you're setting up a tight end to have a electric season in his great offense that is led by a new Brian Callahan offense. And then obviously Bill, if he had to work with him whatsoever in terms of blocking, you've got that covered. Now, presumably you would think that, right? But ultimately, at the end of the day, I like that simulation where you get those two picks. You stay in the first round with two picks. I would feel better if the Titans traded down, if Brock fell, and then they went, okay, I want another first from this as well, because then you can still go get your lineman or even Brock later. Who knows? But there is going to be a trade, I feel, that causes chaos in the first round.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think I'd feel better about Bowers at 10, 11, 12, but I don't hate it at 7, Connor. I really don't.
See, the thing I'm thinking about is you guys keep saying, well, we have Chigakonkwo. I view Chigakonkwo the same way I view Treylon Burks. Young, has potential, but what has he shown me?
Yeah, you hope
he's shown
you
more than Treylon Burks.
That is true.
I'll tell you that. He's shown more than Treylon Burks.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, Treylon hasn't had the best run in the NFL, but I mean, just you got to give it time. Unfortunately, that's the one thing people got to understand is time. Time is the way you got to go.
Chig's first season was great.
Yeah.
He was. I was like, okay, this might be our next Delanie Walker.
Yeah, he was invisible, man.
And then last year, he couldn't catch a softball.
You don't have an offensive line that you can throw behind. So, I mean, that's another thing you got to put into the equation.
Yeah, rest in peace, Andre Diller going to the Green Bay Packers. So.
Hey.
My poor Robbie.
Jordan Love, man. He's got to be able to run some cardio during practice.
Sprints, or those defensive ends are going to have to grab some confidence from practice.
Bless his heart.
I mean, hey, last thing I'll say on this. The great quarterbacks of the past 20 years, what do they all have in common? They've had a great tight end.
Exactly.
Peyton Manning had Dallas Clark.
Yep.
Tom Brady had Rob Gronkowski.
I was just thinking about
Mahomes
Gronk.
Has Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you take him over Joe Alt, but if Joe Alt's not there, I'd have a hard time talking myself
absolutely
out of Brock Bowers.
Absolutely.
That's a good point, Jake.
Yeah.
Good stuff from Connor. Our first edition of
Thank
Newt's
you, Connor.
Again, that'll be at 9:45 single week. So excited to get Connor involved here and get his thoughts on everything going on in Nashville sports. When we come back, we're going to jump back into some Preds talk. Obviously, that's the big story this week. The draft's coming up, but tomorrow we've got Preds playoff hockey. We're going to talk more Preds. We'll also revisit our question of the day. If you want to jump in, 615-737-1025. Let us know what you think the Utah hockey team should be called. What should their mascot be? We've already had a few people jump in there on the text line, so make sure you let us know. That's coming up next. More Preds talk here on Forest Company on this Saturday morning on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Hour number two here on this Saturday morning, Forest Company on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt with you live and local every Saturday morning from here on out. Fun first hour, guys. We got to a lot of stuff. We talked some Preds. We talked a good amount of Titans. More of both of those coming up in this second hour. But let's start with the Preds. Let's jump right back into some Preds talk. I know that's what everybody around town is buzzing about right now. Preds playoff hockey back for the first time in 2 years. Didn't make it last year, but back in the playoffs, taking on the Vancouver Canucks on the road tomorrow night, game one. Again, a 9 p.m. puck drop. Late night start, but the Preds hoping they can get out on the right foot against the Canucks, who are the 2 seed in the Western Conference. We've already talked a little bit about the matchup, guys, but I think we're going to need to see some Predators step up. And Keyser, you touched on this a little bit with Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, some of those guys. But who do you think is going to be the X factor in this series if the Preds are going to move on to the second round?
It's so cliche, but it's the factor, Ryan O'Reilly. Guys, this is just the absolute truth. I mean, think about it. He is a Conn Smythe winner from their cup run with St. Louis, and you know, Frazier, you could speak more on that maybe. I don't know how much you watched the Blues that year, but he was stellar. He was awesome. And are we going to get a really good version of him here in the first round? Are we going to see him thrive on that line? Like I said last hour, it's a matter of if that line is shut down, who's going to step up? But if that line is rolling, which, by the way, you had a guy almost hit 50 goals this year, by the way, in Philip Forsberg. I thought he was going to do it. I really did. But the other guy that you have to talk really highly about that's done just as well at times, if not better in certain games, is Gus Nyquist. Gus is the only Predators player in team history 34 years or older to score 70 points. The only guy 34 years or older to do that. He's been phenomenal this year. And I'm not saying part of it has to do with his skating ability, but it really does. He makes the smallest, minute plays. Those are the biggest difference at times when he has the puck on his stick or if he's looking for it as well. And I think one of the goals he just scored more recently kind of did that as well. This is going to be a huge, huge test for that first line against these Vancouver Canucks. And the Preds were outscored 13-6 in their three games against them this year. It's also one of two teams the Preds could not beat in regulation this year, the other team being the Boston Bruins. But the Preds went 0-3 against Vancouver before they hit Christmas last year. So there is that as well, fellas. But that's my early factor for the Nashville Predators going into game one.
I mean, my X factor is going to have to be goaltending.
Yeah.
Right? The big question is like, is UC Saros going to be the UC Saros we've seen in the last few stretches of the last couple of weeks? Or is it going to be the UC Saros of the first half of the season where he was letting in, what, 3-4 goals every other couple games or so?
Like, it was tough.
Like, that's a big issue to me, because if he doesn't, you know, come out of the gates hot, then you're just like, well, do you put Kevin Lincoln in? Like, then you start having that goalie decision, like, do you end up going with the backup the next game? Or do you just put Saros in and hopefully he has a bounce back game? Like, that to me, that's where I'm just like, oh boy, this is a teetering situation.
Yeah, and to add on top of that quickly is Saros also has not really played – well, he's not played in any playoff game since the bubble against Arizona, by the way. So he was hurt against Colorado, and they got swept in four games, and that was just an atrocious series of goaltending. You had – you know, David Riddick, and then you also had Connor Ingram. That was a travesty. But now they've got competent goaltending, and I'm very curious to see how they do. Jake, is there anybody else that stands out to you going into game one?
I mean, I don't want to be cliche. I'm not going to say Philip Forsberg.
You could.
I'm going to say Roman Josi. Yeah. I think I was listening to Elliot Friedman on the Midday Show yesterday, and he was talking about how on his Norris ballot, it's Quinn Hughes and Roman Josi.
Yeah.
And we've got that matchup of possibly the two best defensemen in the entire league in this first round. And I think Roman Josi, the way he's played down the stretch this season, he's been phenomenal. And I think he's got something to prove.
He does.
Because you would think he might fall short of the Norris this year.
He probably will in terms of voting, yes. But he will be a finalist.
But guess what? Maybe he gets the last laugh if he can send Quinn Hughes
that'd be awesome.
Back home in round one. I think Roman Josi on both ends of the ice, I think he's going to be a huge factor for this team.
Yes.
And if he can score and really, you know, be a spark plug for this Preds team and add to that frontline offense like you were talking about with O'Reilly, Nyquist, and Forsberg, I think that could be the reason the Preds win or lose this first-round series.
Really quickly, too, this graphic that Adam Vingan threw out there on X last night, this was something that I didn't know too much about. He's got the SportLogic stats that I don't have my hands on, but you have second and third in points going up against each other in Hughes and Josi. Offensive possession time, Quinn Hughes is first, Josi is fourth. Scoring chances, Quinn Hughes is eighth, Josi is second. Controlled entries going past the blue line and in and making sure that they're all set up, Josi is first, Quinn Hughes is second. Slot passes, Josi's ninth, Quinn Hughes is second. Quinn Hughes, I think he is going to create more offense in this series. Josi's going to have to force his hand to do so. But I think in this new system, you're not going to see as active as a Josi as you previously have in other series. Will he be active? Yes. Will you see other guys having those entries as opposed to him? Yes, you will see more of it. But Josi will do it if the lane is open. Let's not draw that and cross it out. He's going to enter the zone when he has a chance, has that lane. So
I'll give you a wild card guy.
Okay.
Here's a guy that'll make some offense for you. And he's young. So I think he's proven he's one of the quickest guys on the ice. And that's Pretty Boy Vincenzo.
Yeah.
Luke Evangelista.
He's going to be
big. You look back at the games. Take that 18-point streak. That when he was on, he was on.
He was great.
He was great. So I feel like if he can get in the offensive zone and he can score like he was during that run, the Preds' offense is going to be hard to stop.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to be a massive goal scorer in contribution.
No.
Last weekend, out of the two games, he had four assists in two games. Like, that's crazy. I mean, to have that be that young and contribute to a team that is a what retooling, retrotsification,
re something now,
re something. Like the chemistry's there, everything's there. It's just a good thing to see.
His spacing is incredible.
The spacing is incredible. Just to see the youth develop and the chemistries, like to me, that's what is massive. Is to see the youth actually develop throughout the season and mature into being true professionals into the second half. That's what it's exact to me.
I'm really impressed with how he's worked with Tommy Novak. That's been a big duo for them at times this season. So what does Tommy Novak add to him in that regard as well? That's going to be something to keep an eye on because both of them, they have awesome looks. They get so creative at times. They try to throw you off with how they shoot the puck even too. Tommy Novak's release is very strange compared to some other guys I've watched. So that's going to be fun. One other thing on Roman to quickly tell you guys in reference to how he's done compared to other D-man in the league since January 9th. That was the halfway point for Roman's season at 42 games played. There's a few guys that have played 42 and some change here. But Josi leads the NHL by defenseman in scoring in his last 42 games. 54 points, 15 goals and 39 assists. And on the power play, he has 18 points as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Josi's certainly going to be a factor, and I agree with you guys. I think the young guys are going to be huge this series. Yes, you need your top line with Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist to have a big series, but I think it's going to take some of those younger guys stepping up if you're going to beat the Canucks.
Yeah,
I'm going to call my shot here. I want a big sexy goal on Sunday night. I think that's going to happen. Yeah. I'm thinking Michael McCarron is going to score in game one.
Man, I like that. I really do. And that fourth line is going to stir the pot against their bottom six for sure. And I think Kiefer Sherwood and Cole Smith are going to be huge guys as well. And one other guy that's a hit machine, he set the NHL record for the most hits in a season, by the way, Jeremy Lauzon, who is played great this year with Alex Carrier. That's going to be really fun to see him go after guys even more than what he was already doing. I kind of got that feeling when they're playing the Pens the other day to end their season. I am very pumped to see how physical this team is going to be. I really am, guys.
I am curious, though, with the amount of time from the end of the regular season to the start of the first game of the postseason, is time of that going to play a factor? Is the amount of days off going to play a huge factor into this, you guys think?
Well, they practiced twice for reference, so they had a few days to themselves. They traveled yesterday to Vancouver, so they got there, and they actually skated yesterday. It was one of their two practices leading into game one. I imagine they are practicing this afternoon. I got my message early on this morning that they will be practicing in Vancouver the same time as they did yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're back on the ice. They'll have a third practice. You know what? I think it is going to be a factor. Vancouver's played more recently than Nashville has, but Nashville's also able to rest if they have any bumps and bruises. Vancouver's not going to be able to rest as long as Nashville is.
It's the classic rest versus rust debate. I never really know how it goes because, yes, after a long 82-game season, you want that extra time to heal up a little bit, but also does it get you out of a rhythm? Again, the Preds, their last game was on Monday. The Canucks played in the final day of the regular season on Thursday. So a pretty significant difference there. We'll see how it plays out. I think whoever comes out and throws the first punch on Sunday, I think maybe you can attribute it to one of those two things, whether it's rest or rust.
Yeah. And you said big sexy. I wonder who Andrew Brunette starts to get this rolling because for 20-odd games. I can't remember the exact number. Max probably does. I'd have to go back and count because I got my spreadsheet. But I wonder who they start. I really do. I wonder if they start with a physical line against whoever Vancouver wants to actually throw out there or not. But that's going to be interesting as well. I want to point this out, too, for playoff experience. And Robbie talked about this yesterday with Adam, and as did most other hosts as well on our station. I want to throw this out there. Playoff experience-wise, here's 1 through 16. I'm not going to read off all of them, but I'm going to tell you where Nashville and Vancouver rank out of the 16. So for reference, 1 is going to be Vegas because Vegas is Vegas and they trade and get guys, right? They have 1,300 games of playoff experience.
Hmm.
Now, Nashville has 818. So you have that, okay? Vancouver is dead last, by the way, with 468 games of playoff experience, and that might bite them. It might not. They have a lot of talent, guys, So is it going to make the biggest difference? No, but I just want that to be out there that you've got three guys on this Preds roster that have won Stanley Cups, two of which have won two. You've got, you know, Ryan McDonagh, who's got 185 games of playoff experience, the second most by any active player currently right now. The only player that has more is Corey Perry. So there's that. Luke Shen's won two Stanley Cups. I know people have their quarrels about Luke Shen, but let me tell you something. He's a glue guy. He's a huge glue guy. You have to have a guy like that in your room, and you have the factor, my factor, Ryan O'Reilly in this series. It's going to be fun, guys. I'm really pumped to cover this.
And that's what Barry Trotz said when he brought those guys in. Serial winners is what he wanted, and they bring that playoff experience to this team starting tomorrow night. So, again, puck drop, 9 p.m. tomorrow. You can tune in right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Coverage starting at 6. So lots of pregame talk from Max Herz as he gets you set for the start of Preds playoff hockey. We're going to pick the first two games coming up later in the hour. But coming up next year on Four's Company, we've made it a point as a show that we don't think baseball gets enough love around here in Nashville. And I get it. There's no pro baseball or there's no Major League Baseball team here. But we've got the Sounds. We've got Vanderbilt. The Braves aren't too far away. We are going to make it a point to talk more baseball on these Saturday mornings. So coming up next, we're going to talk the Vandy boys a little bit. They've won their first two games of this series against Florida, looking for a sweep today. Good season so far for Tim Corbin and company as they look for their third national championship later on this year in Omaha. That's up next here on Four's Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
That one is swung on, it's a pop-up. Left side, here comes Matthew Polk. Left fielder is in, calls off Jonathan Fastine, and then Fasty makes the catch. 27 outs, Vandy wins it. Jonathan Fastine makes the catch on the pop-up of Shelnut, and Vanderbilt gets a series victory over the Gators.
Vanderbilt baseball taking their first two games against Florida. Just heard the call of their 5-2 win last night over the Gators. They'll go for the sweep later on today. Hey, if you want more baseball as well, make sure to tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20 p.m., first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app. And at 949thefan.com, Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We're going to talk a little bit of Vandy boys baseball here. A couple of big wins to start the week against Florida, a team that was the national runner-up a year ago. They've got the presumptive number one overall pick in the MLB draft in Jack Caglione, who I think has now hit 9 home runs, or home runs in 9 straight games, or wow, something like that. I think he just broke the record. He plays both ways, by the way. He pitches as well. So
the next Shohei out of Florida? Otani.
Yes, college's Shohei Ohtani.
Didn't he have like that 500-foot home run?
Yes, yeah, on a Tuesday or something like that. He hit it over the scoreboard.
That was ridiculous.
My gosh.
I don't know if anybody saw that. I would go look it up online. That was a ridiculous homer.
Yeah, Jack Caglione, he's up there with Charlie Condon of Georgia.
And yeah.
I think the third guy for the MLB draft might be a Texas A&M guy. It's all SEC players. I mean, 3 of the top 4 were SEC guys last year, too.
Well, A&M had their way with Vandy last weekend.
Yes, they did. A tough weekend for Vandy baseball as we dive in on the Vandy boys here on Four's Company. Vandy now 29-10 on the year, 10-7 in the SEC. We mentioned it was a rough weekend in College Station, who the Aggies are now the number one team in the country
for
after
good reason. Yeah.
Sweeping Vanderbilt. But they bounced back, beat Florida 10-5 on Friday night in a game that had a little lightning delay in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And then 5-2 last night, Carter Holton with a gem, 10 strikeouts in that one. This team, they've got starting pitching. And I think that's what matters most in the postseason when you have to throw 3 or 4 straight days in the SEC tournament or the regionals or supers or in the College World Series. You need multiple guys. They've got it. The offense and the bullpen may be more of a question mark, but, man, the starting pitching is good for Tim Corbin.
Yeah, and Frazier, I think you asked a great question before we came back from break, and that lays it out perfectly for Vanderbilt is just, look, you've got to look at the longevity of games and how long that depth can last long term. So that's a great question to ask for this team moving forward with about 4 more series left. of conference play.
Yeah, I mean, when I was watching the game last night, which was a phenomenal watch, it's just the bullpen to me was the biggest concern. And, like, I think it was the sixth inning, Vandy allowed, like, a homer. Like, I think it was a dead center or right center or something like that. And I don't know. Like you mentioned with the starting pitching, it's there. So if they get deep into the SEC tournament or College World Series or whatever it may be, if they can go deep to probably, like, sixth, seventh innings pushing it. But, like, if you can get your starting pitching to at least the sixth inning, I feel like you have a really good – obviously, baseball, I mean, numbers. You have a really good shot of winning the game. But, yeah. I would say so. I feel like if you get to the sixth inning with your starting pitching, especially with this rotation Vanderbilt has, I mean, sky's the limit for this team, honestly.
Yeah, no.
Because the bats are there. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, they've got good hitters in their line. Maybe not as good as last year. Last year they had R.J. Schreck, who transferred over from Duke, and he had a great final season.
He was good.
And then – obviously, Enrique Bradfield Jr., first round pick.
He was up there.
To the Baltimore Orioles, one of the fastest guys, one of the best defensive outfielders you will ever see. So they lost some key pieces on the offensive side, but they brought back pretty much all of their pitching. Carter Holton, I mentioned, he had 10 strikeouts last night. That dude, every time I watch him, I think I'm more impressed. Lefty touches like 96, 97 with his fastball.
That's good through seven innings, too.
He's a big league pitcher.
Yeah, There's no doubt in my mind. That dude's a first-round pick. I mean, his curveball, playing off that fastball, I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to face it.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. And you got Bryce Cunningham, Grayson Carter. I went to a game earlier this year. I think they played Gonzaga. It was like the second weekend of the year.
Yeah, that'd be about right. Yep.
And Grayson Carter hit 103 on the in-stadium radar gun.
Wow.
And it was a kind of a cold night, too. Like, man, he's electric out there. I think he came in late to face Caglione last night. And then Devin Futrell, who was fantastic last year, he's hurt right now, but they're hoping he's coming back soon. So the pitching is great. But, yes, it is concerning in the back end of the bullpen that there's been some times they've let some leads slip away.
Yep.
And I think that's really something across college baseball. There's just not – you got to have a lot of good pitching if you want to be really good. And, again, like I said, playing in the postseason where in a regional you might play four games in 3 days. In the College World Series, I think you could play up to six or seven games. It's a lot of pitching that you have to have, and I think if Vandy is going to make a deep run in the postseason, they're going to have to find guys behind that top line of the starters that they've got.
They will, and you know, going back to what Frazier was saying about having the starting pitching go a long way and that being a question mark for the depth, that's going to be the biggest thing that makes the this team tick at Hoover this spring is, look, you've got a huge conference tournament, and last year – I don't want to say that that's what bit them the worst, but they were snake bitten in some areas with guys on the bump. It was, you know, can they make the biggest difference in games? And there were a few gaffes last year for sure, I thought, at the conference tournament. But I think at the very end of the day, you get yourself to Omaha. I think this is a really good team again this year. That kid hitting 103 reminded me of like the turntable GIF that, you know, Michael Scott has, because Tennessee had their guy, you know, and now you've got Vanderbilt with a guy that can throw gas as well late in a game and get you a really valuable save. And so how can they utilize their bullpen? You know, that's the biggest question with Korbs, is he's someone that does a good job developing his team overall. So how do they look down the stretch? I think that's the biggest question mark for me, at least when watching this team. And going back to Carter Holton, if he is their guy, if he is their, quote, ace at some point, we're talking about these high aspirations for him as an MLB prospect, that's going to be big for him to make sure that he sets the table, not just for himself, but for his team. So it's going to be a fun last few weeks here with four more series left.
Yeah, again, talking Vandy boys baseball here. You can jump in 615-737-1025, call or text. Again, trying to sweep Florida today. Won the first two games of the series. That's pregame right here on 102.5, the game at 1:45. First pitch at 2. One thing before we move on, it's just been funny the last few years, and I've been thinking about this and want to talk about it. The SEC, they've won the last three national championships.
Yes, yeah.
But every single time a team wins the national championship, they take a huge step back the next year. I think it was Mississippi State back in 2021. They won the national championship. They were terrible. Were the worst in the SEC.
Yeah, they were
the next
gone.
Year.
Yeah.
This is a safe place, Frazier. You can cry if you want to.
I'm a Mississippi State fan. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did not know that, actually.
Yeah, I'm a Cowbell guy. It was very unfortunate to see just the lack of production the following year. I was like, where'd everybody go? But some guys left for, you know, other reasons, and other guys left for the draft. And so, like, not a lot of that core left Mississippi State. Here or there, you know, you have your bits and pieces, but it was just unfortunate to see that production just fall off.
Well, then you'll like that Ole Miss won the national championship the next year, and then they were worst in the SEC the year after that. And then this year, LSU and Florida faced off in what was a great College World Series championship series. And now both teams, they're not worst in the SEC, but they're not nearly as good as they were last year. Obviously, it makes sense. LSU lost Paul Skeens and Dylan Cruz. Florida lost Wyatt Langford. Like, those are all top five picks. Wyatt Langford's playing for the Texas Rangers right now.
Yeah, DHing, so, too, as a rookie, which is impressive.
I'll tell you who's killing it right now. You see my smile, right?
That is true. Yeah. What are they now, 15-1?
They're 15-1. They just beat the Vols yesterday. They play again today and tomorrow, obviously, but yeah, the Cats are – the Bat Cats, as we call them.
The Bat Cats.
They're rolling.
Kentucky's been unbelievable. They're up there with – I guess Arkansas and Texas A&M are the two other top teams in the SEC. Yeah.
Who was their loss to, Connor?
Oh.
Is it Tennessee?
No.
They're playing Tennessee right now.
I think it was – no, it wasn't Alabama. I'd have to look. It was early on. But, they were just riding. I think they're still in sole possession of the SEC as a whole.
Yeah, they're first place in the East.
Yeah, by a wide margin. I mean, the team behind them is Tennessee at 10-6, then you got Vandy at 10-7. So there you go.
5-game lead. So
everyone else below them in SEC play is at 500 or below it. So there you go.
Mm. Well, Vandy trying to get a sweep today over Florida again. First pitch at 2. You can tune in for pregame right here on 102.5 The Game at 1:45. Then coming up next week, 4 home games for Vandy, UT Martin on Tuesday, and then Mississippi State over the weekend. Nick Frazier's Bulldogs coming to town Friday, Saturday,
more cowbell,
and Sunday.
Baby.
All right, well, we'll move on. Vandy boys baseball again, trying to get the sweep over the Gators today. When we come back, we're going to jump back into some Titans draft talk. I'm going to ask the guys, we've talked a lot about what we want the Titans to do at 7. What do you absolutely not want them to do? What is your Titans draft nightmare? That's coming up next. You're on Forrest Company on this Saturday morning, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best 2024 NFL draft coverage on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. This Thursday, stop by Twin Peaks in Madison at 6 p.m. for live 2024 NFL draft coverage. Get the best draft coverage as we break down each pick at the home of the 29 Degree Beer. Coverage presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Forrest Company here on this Saturday morning. Jake Lyman, Nick Kieser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt. It's almost draft time, guys. It's my favorite time of the year. I love the NFL draft just because you can make as many mock drafts as you want or as many predictions or simulations like we did earlier, and you still have no idea what's going to happen when the cards come in on Thursday night. So I can't wait. Thursday, the Titans picking 7th overall, and I thought this would be kind of a fun exercise here. We talk a lot about what we hope the Titans are going to do, what we think they should do. I want to talk about what we hope they don't do.
Right.
I thought of this because I vividly remember the 2020 NFL draft. I said to my dad about 2 hours before draft time, and it wasn't anything specific. I just had a feeling. I said, God, I hope the Titans don't take Isaiah Wilson. And that was my draft nightmare. I don't know why. That was what I felt. And it ended up playing out, man. And we know how that turned out. So
you just read their mind, man. Look at you. And Jake was a fan for the Titans. Jake, tell everybody where you grew up.
Yeah, I didn't
watching
understand
the
this
Titans.
Logic.
Yeah, I'm the only non-Nashville native on this show. I am from the D.C. area, Northern Virginia.
But watch the Titans.
Yes, I have been a diehard Titans fan since I was about 6 or 7 years old.
Tell the folks why you like them.
So when I was young, my favorite TV show was on the Cartoon Network. It was called Teen Titans. And my dad one day just said, hey, you know there's an NFL team called the Titans. And I bought in.
You fell in love right
there.
And
it was the worst decision I've ever made. Just kidding. a lot of heartbreak since then.
Number one would be very proud of you for liking the Titans.
Yes. There you go. I have been a Titans fan my entire life. So I do remember, I just told my dad, I was like, I don't know what it is. I don't want Isaiah Wilson. And
it happened.
There we go. So let's go around the room here. What we know what we want the Titans to do.
Right.
What would be something that you leave Thursday or Friday night and come into the show on Saturday and just ready to give a full rant on this show about where the Titans went wrong?
If they go corner in the first round, I'm going to be very disappointed. But look, I think it would be an area of need, just not in the first round. Please. Like,
no, God, please, no.
Yeah,
no!
Pretty much.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep, there you go. Man. The delayed no. But
he knew it was coming.
Look, I think if they look at Kool-Aid McKinstry and if they are looking at, you know, Terrion Arnold, those are two guys that they have had visit and come into to Nashville. Those are great guys. I'm not saying if they picked them, they would be duds necessarily. Anybody could be a dud in the first round or just in general. But if they go corner and they address it just like they're stretching a little bit out here to go get this where they really need a guy more like J.C. Latham, I'm going to be very disappointed. And if they fill something that they could get, you know, via free agency or a trade at some point, just or even later on in the draft or next year's draft, let's worry about it down the road. Let's address the needs that you need to for now and not focus on, like, hey, like, I'm looking and I'm reaching and I really, really want this. But it's like, slow down. We need to watch Will Levis. We need to make sure that Tony Pollard doesn't get pummeled into the earth the first few weeks of the season. So if they go corner, I'll be really, really disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can never have too many corners, but I agree. That's a need you have already addressed with the signing of Jadobe Awuzie and trading for L'Jarius Sneed. Fourth round, I'd love a corner.
Yeah.
But first round, maybe a little bit too steep.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't go with the mindset of getting a corner in the first round and or an edge rusher. I know Titans need an edge rusher, but I can't wrap my head around, oh, let's go defense first round. Yeah, it's not the sexy pick. It's not what everybody wants to see. But at the same time, like, my whole mindset is you got to solidify your franchise quarterback. If Will Levis is the franchise quarterback, you got to solidify that left tackle. Yeah. That's the only way I've been looking at it the last couple of months. People keep trying to give out these different mocks here or there. Oh, not Joe Alt to the Titans. I mean, it has to be a left tackle.
See, I'm going to say that my nightmare would be taking an offensive lineman at 7, not named Joe Alt.
Yeah.
I think if you take Olufashinu or J.C. Latham or Fuaga or Fatanu, I think you're reaching at 7. There are high-level players at other positions. I would take Brock Bowers at 7 if Joe Alt is gone.
You like him.
I would take him too. Malik Nabers. I would take Roma Dunze before I take another offensive line. I understand it's a need, but at number 7, you can't reach for need. I think if Alt is there at 7, I'm a most of the position you run the card up. I think that's no-brainer. You take Joe Alt. But if he's gone, I think you take a tight end, a wide receiver, and, you know, you can fill that left tackle spot in another way.
And in that way, Jake, that makes sense. And if they address something that provides them more security in their future, especially if it's a Latham or if it's an Alt, or if Alt's not there, and if you feel like the best person on the board is a Brock Bowers, that's okay. I don't think I would be disappointed if they got Brock Bowers in that first round whatsoever. But, you know, if they get a Roma Dunze, you know, like Robbie's really sold me on after listening every single morning to the guys and Joe talking about the draft picks as well, Roma Dunze would be a fabulous pick as 100%. Well. And if they get another first round pick, you know, if they wait and get another wide receiver, you know, everybody's talked about, you know, the overblown A.J. Brown stuff. It's like, look, if they added two vets and now if you add a rookie, and we all know that the plan has kind of, you know, been, hey, we really wanted Treylon Burks to work out. Guys, this is a storyline. This may be a season where we don't see him very much. He could fall off, or the first few weeks, he could be something special, but we'll see how it works out.
We have a caller here on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny the Mailman is on the line.
Good morning, good friends. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I absolutely crave great local talk on work days. A lot of people don't work on Saturdays or maybe working in the yard or something. When you're out working a job, it is so good to hear friendly voices. So thank y'all. I will be tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate you, man.
Now, one thing I'm worried about, I've just been on the phone with the three insurance companies that cover the Titans.
Oh, boy.
And all three of them have declared they're going to drop their coverage if they don't draft an offensive lineman. Because they can't afford Will Levis's hospital bills if they don't pick a lineman. Usually, a group is not so bad that you have to pick someone in their group, their offensive line. I mean, you just watch replays of the games, and it was just like they didn't even have a line. It was like, how quick can the defense get to a quarterback? And they were just setting all-time records. So, you know, you hate to say, I've got to pick this guy, because sometimes you're going to pass on one or two great players. But they, even if it's the second-best offensive lineman and all gets picked, they've got to get somebody just to stand between the defense and Levis to give them a chance. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Kenny.
Yeah, have a great day.
You too.
Yes, thank you.
And I agree with him there. I'm not saying don't take an offensive line in the first round if it's not Joe Walt. I'd say if you really feel like you need a tackle in the first round, trade back. Like,
yes. Yeah. Yes.
Maybe there's no one there who wants to move up, but I think if you're going to take Olu Fashanu at 7, don't. I think trade back or take the best player available.
Yeah.
Can I just say, I love Kenny the Mill, man.
He's awesome.
He might be my favorite caller. But
we all have to make a mention of Dominique that doesn't come on the air that calls. But yeah.
Kenny the Mailman's great. He was right about the Titans.
He is 100% correct.
Yeah.
It was like looking at the saloon doors to an old Western. Like, yeah, that was the Titans offensive line last year. It was bad.
I'll tell you what they do not need. They won't do it. I know they won't. But if they do, it would be the most Titans thing ever. Do not, at any point in the draft, draft a quarterback.
Yep.
You will have 4 quarterbacks on your roster if you do so.
I think they might take one late if they don't do it early.
Do not.
But you already have Rudolph and Malik Willis.
I can't see it.
And see, I know we've heard the talk about if Drake May falls to 7, which I think is almost impossible.
I don't think he will.
I remember watching Drake May in person. He played Virginia Tech while I was a student there. And, man, I left that stadium thinking, that dude is a guy. Like, he is going to be an NFL quarterback. I don't think he gets to 7. Can you justify taking a third quarterback in the top 3 rounds in 3 years?
I couldn't.
I don't know if you can do it.
I don't know. Yeah. Unless they just absolutely decide to go ahead and move on from Malik, which they – probably could do, but the thing is, he's now your brand new, I guess, new and improved, you know, third stringer that they previously had. Who was it that was here that knew the system really well but never
was
played?
Logan Woodside.
That's who I was thinking of.
Ended up going to Atlanta with Arthur Smith.
So, yay, if you get paid to be a third stringer and you're learning that system as a perfect guy, hey, I mean, that's more power to you. But I just think they're going to maybe think about that aspect. Now, Connor brings up a great point, be the most Titan things ever, but Connor, your record has gone on for me at least on air saying some things that actually have happened. So maybe they do, but maybe they don't. I don't know.
If you saw it last year when you guys said, I think we were picking against the Chargers.
Yes.
And you guys were all hands on the Chargers. They're going to dominate the Titans. I said, watch this. And then they beat them. And then the same thing happened with the Bengals.
Yep.
Connor, I know my team.
He knows what's going on. Yeah. And when the Titans take Joe Milton in the 6th round cater to the Vols fans.
It will be my worst nightmare. Like, similar to last year with Titans and Vols fans. Oh, no, we took Will Levis. He played in blue. We hate him now.
Yep.
That was some mayonnaise and coffee after that. Well, cool. Hopefully none of those things happen on Thursday night.
Fingers crossed. We still got five
days to go of all this draft talk until the Bears are finally put on the clock on Thursday night. And we'll be back next Saturday to break that all down with you as well. One more segment here on our first show on this Saturday morning. When we come back, we're going to make some picks for the weekend, talk Preds. We're going to talk some Vandy baseball and some NBA playoffs coming up as we wrap up the show. Force Company on this Saturday morning on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll be right back. Wrapping up the show here on this Saturday morning for his company on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Huser, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt behind the glass making things happen. It's time for our weekend picks, guys. We're going to go through three different things here. We're going to do Preds Game 1 and 2. We're going to do the Vandy Boys series finale against Florida coming up a few hours after us here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. And then we'll give you a wild card. You can pick whatever it is, NBA playoffs, Nashville SC. I know Nick Frazier is big on, or whatever's going on. Baseball, yeah. Whatever you think is interesting to bring up here on our weekend picks to wrap up the show. Let's start with the Predators. Games 1 and 2 coming up Sunday and Tuesday in Vancouver. Preds trying to go on the road, steal at least one before coming back to Bridgestone Arena. Nick Frazier, why don't you kick us off here? Who you got in the first two games for Preds and Canucks?
I say the Preds win game one. They steal the first game. Second game is where Vancouver kind of kicks it into gear. They get adjusted, and I'll leave 3 and 4. I would put the whole series out there, but just 1 and 2, we're going to go Preds, then Vancouver.
Okay, cool. I'm also going Preds in game one. I think they're going to steal it in the first one. It's going to be a fun one for sure. I mean, goaltending, we talked about our X factor. So wherever you get your podcasting, Force Company will be over there as well briefly after our program. So stay tuned for our talk next week about the reaction. But game two, I'd say Vancouver is going to hop out of it and probably steamroll Nashville before they come into the greatest city of Broadway, right? You know, 501 Broadway is going to be filled next week. So excited for that. But I do think Vancouver, before they fly down here, have a few days off. They play on Friday here next week, by the way, for reference. So a couple days of rest. There's a Tim McGraw concert, I think, on Thursday next week. So that's why they're not going to play then. But yeah, I'm going to go split there in Vancouver.
We didn't plan this. I'm on the same thing.
There
I think
you go.
Preds
WHMR.
I think off the rest, I think they get game one. I think Vancouver's not going to go down 2-0 at home before coming here to Nashville. So I think it's going to be a split, and I think Nashville's going to have a chance to take control of the series coming home. And again, we'll be on the air 9-11 next Saturday. We'll be able to recap games 1, 2, and 3 ahead of game 4 on Sunday here in Nashville.
Yeah.
Connor, what are you seeing up in Vancouver? Are you on the same page as us here?
There's always got to be someone to wreck your little train. Sort of. Give me Vancouver in game 1. I like the home field. That crowd's going to be energetic. Let's be honest. They haven't had a playoff game here there in a few years. So I feel like they're going to take game 1. However, I like the Predators in game 2. I think they come back to Smashville tied 1-1 just like you guys.
Okay. I like that. Yeah.
All right. So we all have a split. Yeah. Connor says the Preds lose game 1, win game 2. We're all on the Preds get off to a hot start. Vancouver bounces back. Said Vandy, we're going to jump into Vandy. Vandy Boys Baseball coming up 1:45 pregame right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game with Andrew Allegretta. Nick Frazier, do you see the Vandy Boys bringing out the brooms today?
I do. I see them bringing out brooms, some dustpans. I also just put this out there, something to watch for. I see there's over about 3 home runs in the game. Just something exciting to watch for, you know, some three homers.
Will Caglione do it again? Will he hit a home run? And I think it's a 10th straight game if he does it today.
Okay. He just might. He just might. But yes, they take the sweep.
I would agree. I think they'll sweep. I think Vanderbilt wins. I'll have a called shot to be a little different. I think Vandy wins by at least 5 runs.
Mm. Wow. A blowout. See, I got to prove I'm not a homer here. I'm wearing the Vanderbilt gear right here if you're watching on the stream. I'll go Florida. I think it's tough to sweep anybody in the SEC.
It is, yeah.
I think it's tough to win 3 games, even at home. Florida's still got plenty of talent. I think Vandy will be happy to get the series win over the Gators. I think Florida is going to take 1 back to Gainesville.
Yeah, give me Florida as well. The SEC is a tough place to play baseball. And granted, Florida's struggling a little bit, but this is still Florida baseball. And like you said, it's tough to sweep someone in the SEC. So give me Florida to win today.
All right, so we're split there, 2-2. Vandy and Florida, again, game 3 of that series coming up this afternoon. And let's wrap it up with a wild card. Nick, what game are you watching for this weekend and who you got?
You know, Nashville SC is back in the mix. Their little small break they had. I'm going to tell some news here from Ben Wright with Broadway Sports Media.
Yes, please do.
Nashville SC has traded Mackenzie Gaines to the Houston Dynamo. Let's see here. Nashville will receive general allocation money in return to view of making an addition to the summer window. Gaines, who is 26, had 1 goal and 1 assist in 7 appearances for Nashville. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it says there that they are looking to make some, roster moves. I know during their little small stint they had of that 1 week off or so, Gary Smith was in Huntsville looking at some of the players that play for Huntsville City FC. It's just an interesting thing because when I go to those press conferences, and I think somebody asked him the question, like, you know, what's the deal with the roster? Are you going to, you know, make some adjustments? And he said he was going to have a sit down with Mike Jacobs and, you know, see what the roster is going to look like going forward. Like, are they going to open up the pocketbooks? And so they are, but it, at what cost? And this is the cost. They're getting rid of a very fast, just intelligent player. I personally think that with him and Jacob Schaffelberg on each side of the field, it brought a different dynamic. Unfortunately, like for a guy like Randall Leal, who's been out and he's a designated player, that's the only unfortunate thing. He's coming back from injury.
Yep.
So you're trying to figure out, like, do we keep this guy? Too much money involved, whatever. But it's unfortunate. I mean, his little brother still plays, I think, at Huntsville City right now. So we'll see what happens there. But as for the game tonight, they play Inter-Miami, Lionel Messi and the guys. I'm going to take Inter-Miami to win, probably 2-1. I just don't see that extra umph yet. They've been off for a while, so maybe injuries aside, they might pull out a win.
It was a fun game last time they played too, but Miami pulled away. They have a lot of talent, obviously. We know who's over there. They're missing a few key guys as well. So
very true.
We'll see what happens. I'm disappointed in a little bit of that move, but we'll see what they do. I thought McKenzie was a good asset for that short season that he was here, you know?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Now, my pick, my last one, I'm going to do NBA postseason action here. I would like to take the Boston Celtics over the Miami Heat. Look, it's going to be a fun series, I believe, after what Miami did in the play-in. It was fun to watch them at times. And then I also thought that they could also maybe steal a game or two from Boston, possibly. But I think in game one, you got to give it to Boston. But then after then, I think Miami maybe steals a game. But if they do, I would weigh on game three, maybe. But we'll see. Connor, do you have a wild card pick here for us this weekend?
I do. Nick Frazier, I'm going to do it. Come along with me to Busch Stadium today.
Let's go.
Our Cardinals take on the Milwaukee Brewers. D.L. Hall on the mound for the Brewers. Miles Michaelis on the mound for the Cardinals.
Oh, boy.
-135 on the money line for the Cardinals. However, I like the Cardinals here. They took the Brewers to the limit last night, won 2-1 in lost 2-1 in extras.
Indeed.
But I like the way this Cardinals defense is playing. So give me the Cardinals over the Brewers. I think they tie the series today.
Really? So you think Michaelis doesn't give up any homers today?
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right, I will wrap things up. I'm going to go NBA postseason two. Our listeners are getting a great look into my strange sports teams here. I've mentioned I'm a Tigers fan. I'm a Titans fan. I'm also a Phoenix Suns fan.
Okay.
I think they take down the Timberwolves this afternoon in game one of that series. It's been a disappointing year for Phoenix, but that's still a team with Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. I think they pull off the win and get game one in Minnesota over the Timberwolves.
And could Matt Ishbia be interested in a hockey team?
That is true. Is Matt Ishbia going to spend more of that mortgage money, whatever it is? Guys, fun first show. Really excited we're off the ground and excited for next week.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, glad to be here, fellas, and let's see how the Titans approach this draft.
Yeah, going to be a fun show next week. We'll talk Preds playoffs and recap what the Titans do on days one and two of the draft. Thanks for listening.
Eat your vegetables, kids.
Force Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.